Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Brady Carlson, in for Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, the internet never forgets, much to the chagrin of young journalists still cutting their teeth in the biz. Young engineers, meanwhile, are building hybrid race cars at New Hampshire International Speedway. And when all else fails, how about a career in lasers? But we begin with Washington digging in against childhood obesity.
Oh, hi! I'm on his friend are here with someone very, very special. The First Lady, Mrs. Michelle Obama!
Hi, everyone. We are here digging up soil because we're about to plant a garden.
Yeah. So we can grow our very own food.
Right. We're planting vegetables like these right here. And veggies taste so good when they come fresh from the garden, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
First Lady Michelle Obama there talking healthy eating on Sesame Street. Fresh veggies notwithstanding, a new investigative report from Reuters says the White House has fallen woefully short in the battle against childhood bulge. Here to tell us more for our series Shifting the Balance is Duff Wilson, investigative reporter and associate editor at Reuters in New York. He co-wrote the special report, How Washington Went Soft on Childhood Obesity. Duff, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, Brady. Nice to be here.
The big rallying cry that came up a few months back for those who do believe the White House has gone soft on this issue was pizza as a vegetable. Just to clear up, what exactly happened there?
The Department of Agriculture rewrote the school lunch menu for the first time in 15 years and did all these great nutritional changes to the menu. Then at the last minute, Congress checked in and rolled a couple of them back, including, most notably, they wanted to call pizza a vegetable so that it would count as a vegetable serving on the school lunch menu and kind of protect, the frozen pizza for kids and the industry. They also rolled it back a little bit on French fries to protect French fries on the school lunch menu.
To keep potatoes in there. And that brings up one of the companies that you mentioned that was pushing for the tomato sauce and pizza change was Schwan Food, based in Minnesota. And Minnesota's U.S. senator was one of the people pushing for that rollback.
She was. Schwan's the largest maker of frozen pizza for the school lunch program. And they're in Minnesota, and they got their senator to write a letter and to push to basically declare pizza a vegetable in school lunches. It demonstrates the political power, really, of the food industry.
And you quoted an advisor to Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign who said, there's a bipartisan consensus on eating better, but when you start naming specific foods, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah, if you start to mess with Kellogg or General Mills or Kraft Food and their specific products, they tend to push back. They've also done a lot of improvements in their own products, but when the government starts to tell them what to do, they'll push back.
And how do they push back? How much money is the industry spending on lobbying around these kinds of issues?
It's a huge industry, as you could imagine, the food industry. But particularly in the last 3 years, which are the first 3 years of the Obama administration, they've really increased their lobbying spending in Washington. We track the lobbying of over 50 of the major food companies and associations, and we found that they spent over $175 million lobbying in Washington the last 3 years during Obama, which was double what they'd spent the previous 3 years at the end of the Bush administration.
And that's certainly more than what the healthy eating advocates are proposing. But if they're pushing back against these ideas, then what is the food industry saying about regulation? What would they propose instead?
Self-regulation and voluntary action. And they have been doing a lot of that. They've been improving their labels, improving, ingredients in a lot of products, restraining themselves to some degree on the, children's TV marketing. So they like the voluntary approach and don't want the government actually setting stricter standards.
And at the same time, though, there has been pushback against voluntary guidelines for marketing foods and drinks. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was a big initiative in the administration, actually, by four agencies to write some stricter or more scientifically based, in their opinion, voluntary guidelines for sugar, salt, and fat in foods that are marketed to kids on TV. And at the end of that process, though, the industry argued that what they claimed was voluntary would possibly be mandatory in the future. And they pulled out all the stops to kill those voluntary guidelines from the administration working group.
Now, we've been talking about proposals and policies at the federal level, but there's, of course, always the state level. And one common tactic that we've seen at the state level to try and discourage unhealthy behavior is the so-called sin tax, you know, taxes on alcohol or cigarettes. But New York State at one point considered a tax on soda. And how did the soda producers respond to that?
They basically slaughtered it. The governor of New York compared the industry lobbying to a Mack truck, and he got run over by it. And so have these proposals in every other state they've been proposed, actually, to raise taxes, excise taxes on soda, to both, you know, discourage consumption and have some money for health programs, has been proposed in one form or other in 24 states in the past few years. It's been defeated in every single one of them. So the beverage industry has a 1,000% batting average against soda taxes.
I've heard health advocates say the food industry is essentially using the same strategy the tobacco companies use to stave off regulation. So what is that strategy then?
Well, some people certainly do argue that, and the industry contests the comparison. They say, you know, tobacco kills half of its regular users, and they're nothing like tobacco, and they resent the comparison. But there are similarities, no doubt about it. In fact, the largest food company in the United States is Kraft Foods. It was owned by Philip Morris between 1988 and 2007, which, of course, is the largest cigarette maker in the country. Now, whether they picked up any lessons there from Philip Morris is a little unclear, because the food industry's internal documents have not been revealed through court proceedings. Basically, tobacco's all been laid out there through discovery and various investigations. But what people say to compare the two is that they both dispute the links between their products and health problems. You know, the tobacco makers say, or they used to claim, cigarettes don't cause cancer. And the food makers still say there's no proof that sugar causes obesity.
And one question here for you with a few seconds left. Mm-hmm. To come back just for a moment to Mrs. Obama and her vegetable garden, you also wrote that her message has changed over the past few years.
It has. A couple years ago, she was really exhorting the food makers to improve their products and change their ads on TV. More recently, this last year, she's switched more toward exercise, toward promoting exercise in the Let's Move campaign. And some of the activist groups think that that's a substantial change in tone. Everybody can agree on exercise, even the food companies.
And not that I'm a nutritionist, but exercise doesn't quite counteract unhealthy eating. Duff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Duff Wilson is an investigative reporter with Reuters. He and Janet Roberts wrote How Washington Went Soft on Childhood Obesity. You can find a link to that report and more from our series Shifting the Balance at our delicious and nutritious website, wordofmouthradio.org.